Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Hello, Sheldon.
Hi, Pamelo.
How are you?
I'm very good.
So where are we today? What are we listening to? And thank you so much for coming back to us.
Thank you for having me. So the Golden Globes just happened this week.
It's award season.
So it's going to be Golden Globes, Grammy Awards next month, and the Oscars in March. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a whole lot of, I think the Brit Awards also coming up.
Yeah.
And so we decided we were going to look at music from movies. But what's happening in Los Angeles at the moment? I mean, are we even going to have the Grammy Awards next
month?
That's
the question. Did you see that?
Yes, it's
insane.
Folks,
did you see what's happened in L.A.?
Sure. The place is burning
devastated.
Down. Devastated. So anyway, so this song, Lift Me Up, Rihanna, it's, when I first heard the song, I was like...
Did you think it was Rihanna?
I knew it was Rihanna.
Okay.
But I was like, this is boring.
Really?
I was like, this is a boring song.
Really?
Like, there's nothing to it.
Really?
And apparently critics seem to...
Agree
with me. But,
interesting.
But then I watched the movie.
Mm.
It's a Black Panther movie, mm. Wakanda Forever.
Mm.
And if you think of the song within its context,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing with music, like how do you consume music?
Mm.
Like if you're consuming a song, you consume it in one way.
Mm.
If you're consuming an album, you will consume it in another way. If you're consuming a music video, you're consuming it from a visual point of view. If you're consuming a song from a soundtrack, it's really unfair to judge the song outside of its context,
mm.
because the song is written specific for a movie,
mm.
specifically for a movie.
Mm.
I mean, there are instances where cover versions are done, but
yeah.
this song was written specifically for this movie.
Mm.
And if you think of the context, not only the context within the movie, but the context within the life situation,
mm.
because when the movie was released, Chadwick had just passed
mm.
away. And that sort of was weaved into the storyline.
Mm.
And then I watched the movie. The song is one of the last songs in the movie.
Mm.
And when it played,
mm.
I was like, it makes sense.
Okay.
It's actually a brilliant song
mm.
because it encapsulates that mood.
Mm, that moment.
That moment.
Mm.
And that is what the song is supposed to do. It's
mm.
supposed to encapsulate that moment
mm.
in time.
Mm.
And... you know, that's the art of writing
mm.
a song for a motion picture.
Yes,
is
absolutely.
That you have to capture that moment.
Absolutely.
And that's why a lot of, like if you think of like songs from Frozen or from Encanto or from like all of these different movies or the Disney movies or whatever, some of them do really well on the charts. Some of them do really well on the
yeah.
charts. Many of them don't.
Yeah.
And that's because it doesn't translate into popular culture.
Some of them do better than the film because
yes.
they don't work for the film, but they
exactly.
work as a single.
Exactly.
Sometimes,
so,
yeah.
So the thing is that song needs to fit into
yeah.
that context of the movie.
Yeah.
And when I heard the song in its context, I was like, yes, this song works. It's a banger. It only went to number 2 in the United States. And Rihanna's got 11 number one hits. I mean, she is a dynamite.
No, she is.
She's also worth $1.4 billion. She's one of the most successful musicians in music history. All right, it's not because of the music.
Yeah.
Although the music has been...
and other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the music, she is one of the biggest selling mm. female artists of all time, at 250 million albums sold. But the Fenty brand, which is owned by LVMH, is considered one of the most iconic luxury brands in the world at the moment, and also one of the newest. So for her to be able to take a brand and convert it into this like mega fortune, it's also astounding. I think she's a brilliant musician, and what Rihanna offers us as a musician is what Tyler's offering us
mm.
at the moment.
Mm.
So in the early 2000s when Rihanna came out,
mm-hmm.
she was this fresh Barbadian
mm-hmm.
exotic girl,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
with a fresh new sound
mm.
and whatever. And and she offered us what now Tyler mm. is offering us. What I really like about this song is it's almost got, for me as a Portuguese person, it's got like elements of like traditional fado music,
mm-hmm.
which is, and if you listen to this specific song in its context, fado is a genre of Portuguese music, which is very like, it's about reminiscing. It's about thinking back on the past and reflection on the past. And listening to the song, it's got that fado sound, and it really fits, the sound fits into this narrative of what the musician was trying to achieve in the song. And every time I hear it, I always think of that. And it's also got no choruses. It doesn't have a chorus.
Yes.
So it's one continuous narrative, which is also brilliant because it draws the listener's attention into what the message of the song is.
Brilliant. Our next song. All right. Kendrick Lamar. Tina, talk to me about the song.
So, I mean, let me just start off by saying there's a big feud between Kendrick and Drake.
Yes.
I'm team Kendrick.
Are you?
I mean, if people, right, whoever are Drake fans out there, I'm not a Drake fan. Yes. I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan.
Mm-hmm. Because you're an artist like that.
Yes, and because if you listen to Kendrick Lamar's grasp of hip-hop and rhyme, to me, is far superior than Drake's.
That's why I said, because you're an artist like that.
Yeah,
you know?
So for me, Kendrick is the guy. He's the guy. He is a master hip-hop specialist. I mean, he's brilliant. His music is exceptional. He really has his finger on the pulse of like what people want to hear. Mm. And I really appreciate that art. He is an artist. And so Kendrick, this song is from the first Black Panther movie. Mm. Now for me, I mean, this, it's not as impactful as the Rihanna song from a context point of view in the movie. But as a song that introduces the concept of Black Panther, I felt that it was very powerful. And I love SZA's voice. I think she is brilliant. And the combination of his voice and her voice on this specific track is brilliant. Mm. It was SZA's, I can never pronounce her name properly. Mm. But anyway, it was her first top 10 hit. And Kendrick's second top 10 hit, although he'd already released 15 singles up to that point, which reiterates this thing about the art. Mm. You can see the guy's about the art of the music and not about the commerciality of the music, although he has been very commercially successful. Mm. What is amazing about this specific movie, so it looks like from Leroy, we're just carrying on with more movie stuff, but is that this is the first Marvel movie that had an all-black cast and a black director. Mm. And so this was historical. And on top of that, $1.3 billion generated at the box office. So it was exceptionally successful. The movie was actually meant to be made in 1992 by Wesley Snipes. But Wesley Snipes couldn't get, because Stan Lee was still alive at the time, and Wesley was going to direct it, but Stan Lee wasn't happy with the scripts that were being written for the movie. And so it was paused and moved around, and it eventually didn't happen. And it went into like this hibernation for the longest time. And then in 2014, the movie was revived again, and this time it was made. In 2018, it came out. Kendrick Lamar is a 17-time Grammy winner. He's the third highest hip-hop winning artist of all time, behind Kanye and Jay-Z. If I compare him, I mean, Kanye is also an exceptionally talented hip-hop artist. His rhyming and the way he spits rhymes is brilliant. Unfortunately, I think he's got other problems, which is derailing.
Did you say you think?
I think. I don't want to be presumptuous.
You think.
But that derails his art. Jay-Z is a brilliant. I mean, all three of them are brilliant.
And other things derail his art.
He's got other problems. Yes. He might be visiting friends in due course.
Maybe stay.
Maybe stay for a long visitation.
Yes.
But I think Kendrick usurps all of that. I mean, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning artist. I mean, not just a Grammy award.
Man.
It's like on another level, you know? It's not like like when Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize for literature.
Don't say that. I remember that was so controversial.
But it just elevates your art to another level, because it's now even more So he got the Pulitzer Prize for music, the first person in history to win the Pulitzer Prize for music that is not a classical musician or jazz musician, which already tells you this, the art is at such a heightened level. And so to get him onto a movie like this was almost like saying, this Black Panther movie is an ambassador for African-American and African people around the world. So we need to get the best people on board. And so when you get someone like Kendrick Lamar, it just reiterates the message of the movie, and the music then, as you can hear that song, it's like more of a mid-tempo, whereas the previous one was more of a ballad. And here you got that 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 presence of like, we're introducing this theme, and I feel from that point of view, the song was very successful. It didn't win. It was nominated for a Golden Globe and for an Oscar. Unfortunately, it didn't win either one of them.
All right, let's listen to your next song.
Yes.
All right, so this is from Coco.
This is from Coco. So the movie, such a cute movie. It's an animated movie. And one of my students performed the song for me once. I didn't know it. I didn't really see Coco at the time. And we had a soundtrack week at, at work, at school. And this kid brought the song to me. And I was like, what the heck is that? I was like, that's the most beautiful song ever. It's just so beautiful. Like, what is it? And they were like, it's from this movie called Coco. And I was like, okay, let me go and have a look at this movie. So I watched the movie, and it's such a beautiful movie. It's about Dia de los Muertos, which is a tradition in Mexico, but actually it's a tradition amongst a lot of Catholic countries, which is the 31st of October, Halloween. But they call it, so they actually celebrate it on the next day, which is the 1st of the 1st of November. Dia de los Muertos is the day of the dead. And so it's a day where you reflect on the people that have come and gone. So that, remember me. And the story is about this little boy, and he lands up being transported into the land of the dead. And this song is performed at very crucial moments in the movie. And the original performance is not by Miguel, and this so the female singer in the song is, her name is Natalie La Forzada, which means, La Forzada means the forced one. Anyway, and you can hear that voice, so obviously she got named correctly. And so this is the commercial version of the song. The original version is done by the actors in the movie, and they, the authors of the song are Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. Now that might not ring a bell, but they wrote the music for Frozen. So they wrote music for Frozen, and they also wrote the music for Finding Nemo. So that's why they got employed to do this Coco movie, because people had heard the music, and it, they wanted that Latin sound. The two of them, a married couple, they obviously encapsulate that Latin sound. And the song landed up winning the Oscar and the Golden Globe for Best Original Composition from a Movie.
Wow.
But this song really does encapsulate that that essence of what a soundtrack song is about. They also wrote the score music for the movie. So the score music is the movie that plays in the background.
That's it, yeah.
It sets the mood. Now, the thing is, people often don't think, you know, like you watch a movie and you don't think about the music.
It's so hard.
But the music actually sets the mood for the movie. And if you've got a really good score composer, you won't even notice the music.
Yeah.
But it's there.
And a great score gives the emotion.
It does.
More than the acting and the directing. The emotion, the actual emotion and feeling comes from a great score.
Indeed. And I mean, I think it was last year, I went to Disney Paris.
Yeah.
And when you walk into Disney, there's a soundtrack playing the whole time you're there. Yeah. It's like mind-boggling. Yeah. But you feel like euphoric, you know, because it's this happy music the whole time. And it creates that mood. And it's the same thing with score music, because score music is about like capturing the mood.
And just to be, you know, just so that people have a sense of what we're talking about, it's the kind of sound that makes you feel scared, even though the visuals don't give you reason to be scared.
Exactly.
You
know, like in the Jaws movie.
Exactly.
It's that doo doo.
And then suddenly that sound makes you feel like skrik.
Exactly.
But you don't really have evidence of
why.
Of the fear.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because the music has created the mood.
It's the music that creates the fear.
And for me, it's almost like it's taken a classical music was king, you know, 400 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think the evolution of classical music is what score music is today, where you've taken those elements and you've used them to capture mood more than just the music. It's about capturing mood. Mm. Billie Eilish. Mm. When I watched this movie, now you think a movie about a Barbie doll, a plastic doll. Why am I going to be crying in a movie theater over a plastic Barbie doll? And that movie was, I think, earth-shattering. For me, it was. I don't know. Did you watch it?
Which movie? Which
Barbie.
I saw Barbie.
Yeah.
Just remind me when this played in the movie.
At the end.
Okay.
At the end.
Okay.
So 2023, the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
I think the reason why it resonated for me was, although it is a feminist movement movie and about upliftment of women, because that's essentially what it is.
Mm.
I think people, like, for the longest time as a child, I was heavily bullied.
Mm.
And that bullying doesn't stop when you grow up. Mm. It's something that you'll encounter in many different places. And you'll find that people will often try to suppress you so that they feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I think when I was watching the movie and it came to the end, this song played, which is not – it's also like the song basically says you don't need to be a loud, shouty singer to make an impact.
Mm.
You can make an equal amount of impact by doing something subtle.
Mm.
And when the song played – I was like, oh my goodness, this message, the message of the song, it fully encapsulates what the movie is about.
Mm.
But it's, as someone who has gone through that bullying thing, you think to yourself, what? You start questioning, who am I?
Mm.
What is my purpose?
Mm.
Because people will knock that out of you. And then you start pondering about these things. And if you're not strong enough, it can wash you away.
Yeah.
But that was the beauty of that song within the context of that movie. For me, it was like so impactful because it just encapsulated everything that the movie was trying to communicate.
Mm.
It landed up winning the Oscar and the Golden Globe. So, and it was the second time she had done that.
Mm.
So Billie Eilish has done it twice. Mm. She did it with that and she did it with the James Bond theme song as well. It was also the first song since 1997 that won the Grammy, the first soundtrack song to win the Grammy Song of the Year category that came from a soundtrack. So the last time it happened was Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On.
Wow.
Because song of a soundtrack song doesn't usually qualify as a mainstream song.
That's it.
So for this song to say, for them to say, this song qualifies as our Song of the Year, period. It just tells
you
that the song really touch the hearts of millions of moviegoers and the mass audience. And what I think is so brilliant is that the song is just it's subtle, it's gentle, it communicates what it needs to without being overtly like in your face.
Mm.
And who would have thought?
Who would have
thought some girl in a bedroom composing this piece of music?
Yeah. So we're now going to end on what song?
This is Adele, is one of my favorite musicians. I think she's got probably one of the best voices we've heard in the last 20 years. She's got a powerful voice, got powerful presence. Mm. When she was approached to do the song Skyfall for the Skyfall James Bond movie in 2012, Sam Mendes was the director of the movie. And she met with him. She was actually recommended to do the theme song by the head of Sony, who approached the Eon Productions people who do the James Bond movies and said, we think you should use Adele for your James Bond movie. She met with Sam Mendes and she was like, bruh, I'm not the person to write the theme song for a James Bond movie. And then he was like, why? And she says, because my songs are very personal. Mm. And I write about things that happen to me. Mm. I can't write a commissioned work.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I do. That's not my brand. Mm. And then Sam Mendes said to her, well, then write a personal song.
Mm.
Write something that you would feel resonates with you. Mm. And he said, use Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better as a reference, because that's what she did. And we believe that you can do it. The head of Sony felt that Adele would be able to bring back the glory of Dame Shirley Bassey. Mm-hmm. And Dame Shirley Bassey is the person who's done the most James Bond theme. She's done 3 James Bond theme songs. And he thought she would be able to add that glamour that Dame Shirley Bassey had done before. Apparently, Adele took the script, read through the script, fell in love with the storyline, and was inspired to write the song. And she actually, because the James Bond franchise, you don't just deliver a song. It has to fulfill certain criteria. Yes. They're very strict about what they want and what it must sound like. And so she said she actually enjoyed working under those parameters and guidelines, that for the first time in her life, she was actually forced to write within a thing. And, you know, I think a lot of creatives are very precious about like, I will only write something when the inspiration hits.
Yeah.
And sometimes
when I'm ready.
Exactly. And sometimes, as Gary Player said, practice makes perfect. Yeah. The more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Yes.
And you just deliver. Yeah. You just do it and it will come. And so that's what she did. And she apparently loved doing it under those guidelines. And you can hear references in the song, because it is a James Bond prerequisite, that you reference other James Bond themes in the music and you can hear it in the composition. And this song is like super dramatic, super over the top, and it won the Grammy and the Golden Globe. Sorry, the Grammy, the Golden Globe, and the Oscar for Song of the Year.
That's it, guys. I'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.